What do Gordon Ramsay, Rick Stein, Dawn French, and Helen Glover have in common? Apart from being a pretty average ABBA tribute band, you'll have to carry on listening to find out. Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Welcome to the slightly late episode of Counting Down the Counties, a podcast where I've got a really long list of UK and Northern Ireland counties, and I'm going down it, highlighting a new county each week. I'll give a little potted history, some fun facts, and some famous names born or living in the county. As always, I'm not a historian. I'm just a lover of history and internet searching, so if anything is wrong, please let me know, and I'll do an update section in a future episode. Contact details for the show are at the end of the podcast. Right, before we crack on with this week's county, I have a couple of things to add about last week's, Cheshire. I got picked up for missing quite a few interesting facts about the county and being too Cheshire-centric. Sorry about that. I realised after I'd sat down and recorded that it was a bit over-egged on that, and frankly, I couldn't be asked changing it. I was also pulled up on not mentioning Jodrell Bank, once the world's largest steerable telescope. I can't believe I missed this since I'm such a massive space and science nerd. Alton Park, which was the staging post for General Patton's US Army in World War II and has hosted F1 races. The Anderton Boatlift, one of only two working boatlifts in the UK. And finally, the Hack Green secret nuclear bunker that was used to continue the UK government operations in the event of a nuclear war. Thanks to Insert Random Moniker here on Reddit for alerting me to these. I hope this week's episode will be more random across the county. I asked one of them their AIs to describe my next county using Purple Prose. This is what it said. A mythical land of mist and magic, and a place where dreams come true. The craggy cliffs rise up like sentinels, guarding the coast from the wild waves of the Atlantic. The beaches are as white as snow and the surf is as blue as sapphires. The villages are like something out of a fairy tale, with their thatched roofs and whitewashed walls. The people are friendly and welcoming, and the food is simply divine. Well, I know it's a robot, but that's convinced me. Welcome to Cornwall. Overview. Cornwall, or Curnow in Cornish, is a historic and ceremonial county in southwest England. It is recognised as one of the Celtic nations and is the homeland of the Cornish people. The name Cornwall is most likely derived from the tribal name Cornovi, which probably means the Horn people, the Horn referring to their location at the end of the southwestern peninsula. To this, the Anglo-Saxons added Wilas, meaning foreigners. This is also the derivation of the name of the country Wales. Huh, who knew? The county is bordered to the north and west by the Atlantic Ocean, to the south by the English Channel, and to the east by the county of Devon, with the River Tamar forming the border between them. Cornwall forms the westernmost part of the southwestern peninsula of the island of Great Britain. The southwesternmost point is Land's End, and the southernmost is Lizard Point. Cornwall has a population of 568,210 as of 2021, and an area of 3,563 square kilometres, or 1,376 square mile for the metrically challenged. Founded in the 12th century and granted city status in 1876, the county town is Truro and is the only city in Cornwall. It has a population of around 18,000 people. Bodmin used to be the county town until the 1990s, when the Crown Courts moved to Truro. Bodmin is still thought as the capital of Cornwall by some people, but it's not officially recognised as such. It has a long and varied coastline with over 300 beaches. The geology is varied, with granite, slate and china clay being the most common rocks. The interior of the county is mostly moorland with some wooded valleys. Its location jutting out into the Atlantic means the county has a mild climate with warm summers and mild winters. Prehistoric Cornwall. Cornwall was given its geological shape many millions of years ago. Before the onset of the Ice Age, the Cornish coastline extended 5 miles further than it does today. The Isles of Scilly were part of the mainland, and Britain was physically joined to Europe. The seas rose gradually until around 6,000 years ago, when the Channel was formed. Settlement in Cornwall dates back thousands of years, and there is plenty of evidence for this dotting the landscape. There are ancient and Celtic sites, some of which date back to before the Egyptian pyramids. These fascinating remnants of a bygone era include stone circles, quoits, Bronze Age villages, and holy wells. Here are some of the most well-known. Boscawenoun Stone Circle. This is one of the largest stone circles in the British Isles. It has 19 stones in the circle, surrounding a central stone. Lanyon Quoit. This is a dolmen, or a type of megalithic tomb that is made up of three large stones. Chysoyster Ancient Village. This is the remains of an Iron Age village that includes the ruins of several houses, as well as an underground fugu, or a type of tunnel. It's believed it was occupied for well over 200 years. Menan Toll. This is a standing stone that is said to have magical powers. It's believed to be over 3,000 years old, although not much evidence of this has been found. It consists of four stones, the most memorable being a circular and pierced upright stone. Prehistory. Early human settlement. There is evidence of human settlement in Cornwall as early as 20,000 years ago. These early settlers were hunter-gatherers who lived in caves and temporary shelters. Most of the Stone Age henges and megaliths, circles and standing stones, were constructed between 10,000 and 2,500 years BCE. Many fine examples can be found on Bodmin Moor in the east of Cornwall and the moors of Penwith in the west. Neolithic period. The Neolithic period in Cornwall began around 4,500 BCE and lasted until around 2,500 BCE. During this period, the people of Cornwall began to farm and build permanent settlements. They also began to construct megalith monuments, such as stone circles and dolmens. Bronze Age. The Bronze Age in Cornwall began around 2,500 BCE and lasted until around 800 BCE. During this period, the people of Cornwall began to use bronze tools and weapons. They continued to build megalith monuments, and they also began to build hill forts. Iron Age. The Iron Age in Cornwall began around 800 BCE and lasted until the Roman invasion in 43 CE. During this period, the people of Cornwall began to use iron tools and weapons. They also continued to build hill forts, and they also began to trade with other cultures, such as the Romans. Roman history. As we know by now, the Romans invaded Britain in 43 CE, and Cornwall was eventually incorporated into the Roman province of Britannia. It's a bit out of the way, you see. The Romans built a number of forts in Cornwall, including at Restormel Castle, Lostwithiel, and Calstock. They also built a road system that extended into Cornwall, but there is little evidence of widespread Romanization in the region. The Romans left Cornwall in the 5th century CE, and the region reverted to Celtic rule. The Romans were attracted to Cornwall for its tin mines, which were an important source of the metal for the Roman Empire. They also built a number of villas in Cornwall, but these were mostly concentrated in the south of the region. The Roman road system in Cornwall was not as extensive as in other parts of Britain, but it did provide a link between the south coast of Cornwall and the rest of the country. Saxon history. The 6th and 7th centuries were a time of great change and upheaval in Cornwall. The English invaded the region, and the Celtic kings who ruled Cornwall were forced to defend their land. One of the most famous figures of this period is King Arthur. According to legend, Arthur was born in Tintagel, and he led the Cornish people to victory in many battles against the Saxons. Another important figure from this period is King Mark. Yay! Mark was the king of Cornwall, and he was married to Iseult. However, Iseult was also in love with Mark's nephew, Tristan. The story of Tristan and Iseult is a tragic one, and it's been told and retold many times throughout history. In 577, the Battle of Diurnam Down marked the end of the Celtic kingdom of Dumnonia. The Saxons conquered Cornwall, and the Cornish people were forced to convert to Christianity. The Cornish church remained monastic in nature, and it was not part of the formal structure of dioceses and parishes that was established in England after the Synod of Whitby in 664. The Saxons continued to attack Cornwall, and in 838 they were finally defeated at the Battle of Hingston Down. This was the last battle against the Saxons, and it marked the beginning of a period of peace and stability for Cornwall. In 936, Aethelstan, the grandson of Alfred the Great, fixed the east bank of the River Tamar as the boundary between Anglo-Saxon Wessex and Celtic Cornwall. The river still marks the division between Cornwall and Devon today. Norman history. In the years following the Norman conquest of England in 1066, Cornwall was gradually brought under Norman rule. The process was not without its challenges, as the Cornish people resisted the Normans, their language and their culture. However, by the time of the Domesday Book in 1086, Cornwall was largely under Norman control. The Normans built castles and churches in Cornwall, and they introduced their own system of law and government. Despite the Normans' efforts, the Cornish people retained their own distinct identity. They continued to speak their own language, Cornish, and they maintained their own customs and traditions. The Cornish language declined in the centuries following the Norman conquest, but it was revived in the 19th century. Today there is growing interest in Cornish culture and language, and there are efforts to promote its preservation. Cornwall in the 11th to 14th centuries was a lot like other parts of Britain. The economy grew and the population increased, which put pressure on resources. This led to people colonising new areas like Bodmin Moor and dividing up farmland. A lot of small towns also sprang up during this time. Unlike other areas, Cornwall had more room for economic growth. Trade, fishing, quarrying, the cloth industry, and especially the tin industry all expanded during this time. This helped to create the diverse economic and social base that was so characteristic of Cornwall's later medieval and subsequent history. Industrial Cornwall. Cornwall has a long history of industry, dating back to the Bronze Age. Tin and copper mining were major industries in Cornwall for centuries, and the county was also a major producer of fish. In the 18th century, Cornwall became a leading producer of China clay, and in the 19th century, the county was at the forefront of the Industrial Revolution. Some of the most important industries in Cornwall's history include tin and copper mining. Tin and copper mining have been major industries in Cornwall for centuries. The county is home to some of the richest tin and copper deposits in the world, and mining has played a major role in the economy of Cornwall. Fishing. Fishing has also been a major industry in Cornwall for centuries. The county's coastline is home to a variety of fish species, and fishing has provided a livelihood for many people in Cornwall. China clay mining. China clay mining became a major industry in Cornwall in the 18th century. China clay is a soft, white clay that is used in a variety of products, including ceramics, paper, and plastics. These are just a few of the many industries that have played a role in the history of Cornwall. The county has a rich industrial heritage, and its industries have helped to shape the economy and culture of Cornwall. Military history. War has come to Cornwall many times over the centuries. In the 16th century, Cornwall was attacked by the Spanish during the Anglo-Spanish War. These Spanish landed at Mousel in 1595 and burned the town to the ground. During the English Civil War, Cornwall was a royalist stronghold. The Royalists won a number of battles in Cornwall, including the Battle of Lostwithiel in 1644. In the Napoleonic Wars, Cornwall was home to a number of military installations, including Fortescue's battery at Pendennis Point. The battery was used to defend Cornwall from a possible French invasion. During the First World War, Cornwall was a home to a number of military camps, including Bodmin Camp and Bulford Camp. Cornish soldiers fought in many battles of the war, including the Battle of the Somme. During the Second World War, Cornwall was home to a number of radar stations and embarkation points for the D-Day Normandy landings. The embarkation points in Cornwall were used to ferry American troops to France in June 1944. Today, there are a number of war memorials and museums in Cornwall that commemorate the country's involvement in wars. These include the Cornwall Military Museum in Bodmin and the Royal Naval Museum in Falmouth. Cornwall in the 20th century. The 20th century was a time of great change. The county's traditional industries, such as mining and fishing, declined, and tourism became increasingly important. The Cornish language also experienced a revival during this period. In the early 20th century, Cornwall was still a major mining area. However, the industry began to decline in the 1920s, and by the end of the century, most of the mines had closed. The decline of mining had a significant impact on the economy of Cornwall, and many people were forced to leave the county in search of work. Fishing was another important industry in Cornwall in the early 20th century. However, the fishing industry also declined in the latter half of the century due to a number of factors, including overfishing and the development of fish farms in other parts of the world. Tourism became increasingly important to the economy of Cornwall in the 20th century. The county's beautiful beaches, coastline, and historic sites attracted visitors from all over the world. tourism helped to offset the decline of the traditional industries, and it remains an important part of the economy of Cornwall today. The Cornish language also experienced a revival during the 20th century. The language had been in decline for centuries, but there was a renewed interest in the Cornish culture and identity in the early 20th century. This led to the establishment of Cornish language classes and the publication of Cornish language books and newspapers. Today, there are an estimated 50,000 people who can speak Cornish, and the language is taught in schools in Cornwall. The 20th century was a time of great change in Cornwall. Today, Cornwall is a thriving county with a strong economy and a rich cultural heritage. Famous sons and daughters. Comedian and writer Dawn French. Actors Kristin Scott Thomas and John Nettles. Chefs Rick Stein and Gordon Ramsay. Olympic gold medalists Sir Ben Ainslie and Helen Glover. Rock drummers Roger Taylor and Mick Fleetwood. Famous food. So, you've made it down to Cornwall. What takes your fancy? Yes, yes, pasties, but there is so much more, including Cornish clotted cream. To go on scones, of course. I'll let you Google which is the Cornish way to do it. Yarg. Yarg is a Cornish cheese that is made from the milk of Frisian cows, and it has a striking nettle coating that is supposed to protect the cheese from deterioration. The cheese is hugely popular across the world as cheese enthusiasts enjoy Yarg's unique flavour, creamy texture and crumbly centre. The Cornish saffron bun. This bun is a delicious treat and is certainly a traditional Cornish food. The bun is made using sycamore leaves during the baking process where it is flavoured with saffron and is made from confectioner's sugar. Although the bun is now eaten all year round, it was traditionally only eaten on festive occasions such as Christmas and Easter. Cornwall's close relationship with the sea and fishing has allowed the county to capitalise on the ever-increasing popularity of fish and seafood dishes. The seafood stew is a good example. Its ingredients include a type of seaweed called sea spaghetti, red peppers, yellow peppers, cherry tomatoes, fish stock, cockles and mussels, firm white fish, squid and hand-picked white crab meat. Yum, my mouth is watering. I love seafood. What to do in Cornwall? So, you finally put down your pasty and are ready for some excitement. What does Cornwall have to offer? Let's see, you can visit the beaches. That's a given, right? I mean, it's home to some of the most beautiful beaches in the UK. Popular beaches include Porthcurnow, Fistral Beach, St Ives Beach, and the absolutely stunning Kynance Cove. However, there are many more off the beaten track, including Nanjizzle Beach, Lantic Bay, Bossarn Cove, The Strangles, sounds nice, and Pentire Steps. There are many more, of course. Get your Google out. You can visit the historic sites. Get your history on and visit some of the many historical sites dotted throughout the county, including Tintagel Castle. This is a must and personally one of my favourite places. St Michael's Mount, Pendennis Castle, Bodmin Jail, and the Minack Theatre, to name a few of the many dozens there are. Oh, and don't forget to visit one of the many mines that pepper the landscape. Wrap up. And there we have it. Cornwall. I love the place. I've missed loads, I'm sure. But hey, I'm only one person with a computer and a Google. Join me next week when I'm pulling on my investigative marigolds and patting down Cumbria. Ooh, more north. I love north. I'm doing the Hadrian's Wall walk next year, so I'll be in Cumbria and I can't wait. Until then, if you want to get in touch to pull me up on an error or complain because I've put cream on my scone first, I can be reached at countingdownthecounties@gmail.com or all other social networks as @countingcounties. Take care. I've been Mark Thomas, this was Counting Down the Counties, and I'm off to find a saffron bun and shove it in my face. This podcast was written, recorded and produced by Mark Thomas at the studio of South Coast Voices Limited. Find out more at southcoastvoices.co.uk.